Again, I'd like to also recognize my collaborators on this particular paper, Lindsay Nybeck and Melissa Rehrig. And just, I have no financial disclosure to disclose. All right, the paper's looking at trying to respond to this greater demand on grants and contracts, looking at two things. One, greater demand on increasing changes toward in the systems and the policies of communities as a way to attain community health, improved community health outcomes. And then also the continued, and this one's not new, but the continued emphasis on working with consortiums and community collaboratives as a way to improve those outcomes. So the result, this paper is looking at the results of a 5-year cooperative agreement that Pennsylvania Department of Health had with the CDC through the Steps to a Healthier U.S. program. So we evaluated the Steps to a Healthier Pennsylvania and looked at four chronic risk factors associated with chronic diseases, and they're listed there. And they tried to address these risk factors across four different sectors: communities, worksite, schools, and healthcare providers. The major emphasis of the implementation was using collaboratives and consortiums and to work across the socio-ecological model and to try to not to stay focused just at the individual level, but to, as the program progressed, continue to make changes or work towards making more sustainable changes in the policy systems and policy system in the environment in the communities as a way to make these changes more sustainable and impact a broader population. Again, as a background, the program was instituted in three diverse counties in Pennsylvania, as well as Philadelphia, but this, because of various reasons, this data does not include the Philadelphia information. So in our program evaluation, which had over 400 interventions monitored or evaluated, we looked at using a mixed method methodology. We used both formative and summative evaluation, and we looked at many components. But the two of the major components we looked at was the success and the sustainability of the community consortiums that were in existence or were created as a result of this grant. And then a formative evaluation case studies of the intervention, it's more process-oriented evaluation of the interventions to determine what were the barriers, what were the components that made the interventions successful or not. The consortium evaluation members had to complete every year a two-part web-based survey, and it was administered semi-annually. And based on this information, we authored two papers, both actually presented at different years here at APHA. One's measuring this collaboration across the socio-ecological model and using social network analysis to diagnose what are the hurdles at sustaining collaboratives. And I need to just give you a brief synopsis of those outcomes to set the stage for the current paper. And what we found in that first paper in terms of measuring across the socio-ecological model is that the consortiums and the groups involved in the partnerships were much more comfortable involved in getting involved and collaborating on interventions still at the individual level. Maybe a little bit at the interpersonal level. A lot of continued health fairs, continued interventions at education efforts with small groups, And when we asked them about what were the perceived benefits of collaboration, as you can see, the advantages of making policy changes was very small in comparison to the benefits. We also did social network analysis to identify what were some of the hurdles of sustaining collaboratives. We identified two different types of models. We had larger coalitions with major actors involved. And by larger coalitions, I meant a lot of the historical consortiums that were very strong, had been there for a very long time. They tended to have major actors in the community. And then we had smaller, sometimes more nimble consortiums that in which the actors involved and the participants were a lot more equitable. And these were both results from the paper actually that was presented just last year. But we then still had the following two questions lingering. And that was, do the communities differ with regards to the level of interventions addressing policy and systems changes? And if yes, what were the key factors that differentiated the communities or the community collaboratives? Was there something specifically about each of them or about the collaboratives that were involved in each of them that had some of them be more successful at those systems and policy changes as compared to those that did not? So the evaluation produced a searchable database of about 380 interventions, and out of those, the ones that were appropriate, 80 interventions were chosen to develop a more in-depth case study. And what we did find was that the communities did differ. Right? We did have a percentage of the interventions that originally only about 80% of all of them were involved in individual level interventions. That's what they wanted to focus on. But in those input towards the end, that percentage changed to 40%, and 15% were now more involved, were actually stating that they were involved in interventions that were being successful at making those policy and systems changes. So we did know that there was a difference. The question then was, what were those factors? So what we did is we took our case studies and we used a qualitative comparative analysis methodology. And we identified 27 cases that were designed to change policy and systems. These were young lungs at play that make changes in playgrounds to get playgrounds to be smoke-free, school health advisory councils that look to create a permanent and sustainable wellness policy changes in schools, smoke-free areas in restaurants, and there's the asterisk though, because that was before Pennsylvania went smoke-free as a state, and then worksite nutrition changes. Those were some of the, I'm just giving some of the examples of some of these policy changes. And then we looked at five attributes or five factors that were present in the consortiums that were involved in these different interventions. And I just need to, evidence-based intervention means that they used evidence-based intervention to make the changes. The visibility of the intervention involved how many other organizations were doing the same intervention. In other words, was it being something done across the state? Was it being done in other communities within the same county? Presence of a strong coalition. This is one that I need to explain. Really looked, not strong is not the right word, as is the way the variable was labeled, and we left it that way, but it's a historically strong. In other words, a coalition that's been there for a long time, doing work for a long time with some actors that have been around for a long time. Then we also looked at whether the coalition was dominated by major actors and whether or not the organization of the steps was being run from as an independent organization or was it being run as part of another bigger organization. We compared the cases to reveal patterns of similarities and differences. And what in this approach, you identify whether or not the factor is present by a 1 or a 0 if it's absent. And then you identify whether or not the coalition was or the intervention was successful. And that's a successful policy change. And then in the methodology, you construct truth tables that actually expand to all logically possible configurations. So even if you don't have a case study with that potential present, the truth table constructs all the potentially logical combinations. And the truth table looks something like this. Then the common configurations with the same common outcomes are put through a Boolean algebra analysis. I'm not going to go into the specific equations down there. They're actually fairly simple. It's like logic models. And you identify the presence of the necessary and sufficient factors that were necessary for the policy change to occur. We did this through a computer software called Fuzzy Logic QCA. And what we identified then was that a couple of solutions. First, there's a complex solution. In other words, these are all the factors that seem to have a role in the outcomes being successful. You have to have evidence-based. You have to have a strong coalition. The strong coalition played a role. Major actor and organizational independence. The necessary attributes were the ones that were necessary in all the outcomes, and those were the organizational independence and the absence of major actors. I'm going to skip for the sake of time, the intermediate solution. But the two factors, no one factor attribute was sufficient to attain a positive policy change, but there were two factors that were necessary, organizational independence and absence of a major actor. However, in all the different logical approaches to a successful outcome, the most likely path to a positive policy change included the necessary attributes plus the absence of a strong coalition. In other words, what we found was in the components, in the cases where you had a historically very strong coalition involved, they were less successful at implementing policy and system changes. Now, I understand that this is sometimes counterintuitive to what we've been, at least, what we know. But our experience then that this correlated with our contextual reality in the sense that in those areas that had those historically strong coalitions, they were less likely to want to engage in new or riskier activities. They were dependent upon organizational structures. They were dependent upon county commissioners for funding. Stronger coalitions resulted in activities that resulted more in a comfort zone. Now, I think that it has also an intuitive logic in that since policy change is somewhat relative new practice to community health work and the insistence on policy and systems changes, that an environment with those strong, historically strong coalitions will not engender policy change activities. There are fewer incentives for risk-taking, and there's limited space for new views and perspectives. We have been looking to see if we can reproduce some of these results in other of our experiences. We're using our current experience with our asthma program to maybe test this. I do think that there is some intuitive logic to some of these findings. And I thank you, and I look forward to some questions. Thank you.